Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, your real host, Handsome Jimmy Hicks. This is Wretched Radio. You're taking the reins, are you?
Well, I mean, yeah, I am. It's okay, time. It's time, Todd.
Have I been drifting?
A little bit.
Okay.
No, I think there is a deeper discussion here. I think there is, I think there's something we don't give a lot of stock or weight to. I think I would call it the, because you talked about us maturing and getting softer as we mature, but I think there's a myth to maturity. And what I mean is we look to older men and women in our church as the wiser ones. And I think a lot of times when we do that, and church can help give that impression sometimes, and I think subconsciously, but we look at them and we don't hold them accountable and we don't question them because they've
arrived. On that end of it.
Yeah, yeah. So because we look at them and we think, okay, well, they've arrived. They're helping to mentor me. I can't question what I...
Mm-hmm. Interesting. However, I'm going to have to give you a big fat F as the host.
Okay.
Yep. You didn't reset the table.
I'm sorry.
What are we talking about here? There might be somebody who tripped over this program. We're talking about Philip Yancey. That's the last time we'll use his name, at least in this segment. After 47 years of marriage, he started having an affair with a married woman, and it has been disclosed 8 years later. It's been ongoing for almost a decade. Oh, one of the things that we try to do in the YouTube video that we will be releasing tomorrow is to try to imagine you'd have to write that confessional letter. Just think about this. Your sons and daughters are going to be reading this about dad or mom. That should terrify you, and that would be a good thing. But we tried to explore what happens to older men and women too, I suppose. But I still identify as a man, so I can't speak on behalf of the ladies. That something happens as you get older that is good. It's called maturity. But along with that maturity, well, there's all kinds of dangerous threats. You become more liberal in your theology. You become more liberal in your discipline. And then, of course, you become more liberal in your behavior. And you don't even realize that it's happening. In fact, you might think that you're doing just great. I think that might be one of the reasons why perhaps you've asked the question, and maybe this is the answer. How do these guys do this? How does this happen? They're having an affair for years. I'm not talking about the practical stuff. Like, how do you keep your wife from discovering this? Which I have to confess to you, I just don't understand. Maybe it is because I'm really glued to the hip with my wife. I don't know. It might actually be codependent in a bad kind of way in our marriage. Because it's like, all right now she's down the hall and I'm like, where's my wife? I'm in here all by myself. So we might have a different sort of problem. I don't know how these fellows can pull it off, but I'm not talking about the practical part. I'm talking about the conscience part, which, Jimmy, you brought up during the break too. How do you do this? And I think not all of it, and I'm not thinking of this fellow or anybody else, but I think that the softness that comes from maturity imperceptibly causes you to become liberal and soft in other areas, theological and discipline-wise and behaviorally, and you think that you're actually doing well. You think that, you know, somehow you're able, with your new softer approach to the world, you're able to justify this. I don't know how else that can happen, Jimmy. How do you go on for 8 years? 8 years and not go, what am I doing here? You must be justifying it. And I don't know how or why this story broke, but it did. But I don't know that he disclosed it willingly. I don't know the details. So let's just speak in generalities. We've seen that, haven't we? The guy doesn't volunteer, he gets busted. Okay, so how was he dealing with this? And again, I'm not thinking of anybody. I'm trying to sort it so that you and I can avoid the same ditch. How do you behave? How do you profess to be a Christian past this? How does your conscience get so dulled that you actually think you're okay living this way? We need to be, whatever this thing is that I'm grappling with to try to identify, we do well to sort it. And by the way, I would encourage you, if you get a chance to watch the video, it'll be out tomorrow, comment on this. Would love to be able to get better at this and be able to say, that's it. That's it right there. That's it. Okay, it's really easy. If you're dealing with a guy, he's looking at pornography. It's like, okay, we got to go. We got to deal with that. Well, how do you deal with maturational drift? It feels like a kind of like, what are you talking about here? Leave a note. Send information to idea@wretched.org. Text it if you want to 877-282-2337. That's the one right there. I just did that so we make sure Jimmy is still plugged in.
That's it.
Because he did take the reins. Now I want to return, now that we've reset the table and beaten it to smithereens. Jimmy, your point is that younger people see the older people in the church and don't ever get involved in their mess because they're older people.
Well, bad. And then even if it's a church doing it right, where the older people are teaching the younger, like you want that to happen. And as in that relationship, as it grows, if I'm the younger guy being taught by the older guy and I see something because he's my mentor, I probably don't want
to
say something.
Well, and even if you don't see something, to be able to go up to a guy who's, 70, is a mature saint.
Right.
Hey, what are you looking at on your phone? You're not probably going to do something like that. And I'm not sure that's the right way to approach it. But nevertheless, that could be something, that could be a reason that these men find themselves in danger because nobody thinks to even get in, right. Which is why I think it's incumbent upon the older dude. Yeah. Because the younger guys are probably going to feel uncomfortable. They might think that it is totally unnecessary. So you got to do it. You've got to do it. And maybe it's like, I did that when I was like 20. Okay, I'm 70 now. Do I have to? Yeah. Yeah, you do. Because if you don't, you're going to fall. You're just going to fall. In fact, I think in the video, talk about if you're an older man or an older woman, but again, we're kind of focusing on the fellows here. If you're older and you're like, you don't want anybody to be in your grill, you're already off the rails. You're not headed for, you're off the rails. And you're careening toward danger. We all need that. You need somebody to be able to know what you're doing, what you're thinking, what is going on. And I'm not sure that your wife, that she's supposed to be your morality police. You just put her in a horrible situation. Yes, your wife should have complete access to everything. And here, this might be another sign, because it might be because it's like cell phones are weird, aren't they? If anybody touches your cell phone, don't you kind of go, hey, what are you doing? Okay, so there's that feeling, whatever that is. But I'm talking about the guy who's like, don't touch my phone. I've got to have my phone with me. It's connected to me because if I leave it sitting down, she might pick it up. Uh-oh, you're in danger. You are in serious danger because the drift could be happening. And it's not, let's just say that fellow, he's not looking at full-blown porn, but it's kind of... stuff that that would indicate a drift. You need somebody to, you should have somebody in your life where you can say, and I get it, there's private, I understand that. But to use private information to say, nobody's getting into my phone or computer, I think you're drifting. Or you've just unwittingly put yourself in danger. And so, Jimmy, to your point, I think it's incumbent upon the older men to put themselves in a position where they can be held accountable.
Absolutely.
And if you're not doing that, I think maybe you just haven't thought it through, but I think that you're putting yourself in serious danger. And you say, look, I'm not even interested in that anymore. I'm 75. I'm not interested in that anymore. Perhaps. But that doesn't mean you don't go looking for it emotionally. You don't go looking for it because it's like you're going to climb a mountain and you're going to show them that you still got it and you can be attractive to a woman. Whatever it is, you're never done with your war against sin, with taking heed lest you fall, without submitting to God, resisting temptation so that the devil flees. There is not an expiration date on any of those admonitions. You must persist harder than ever until you get to the finish line. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe? That just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Colossians was written by Paul to combat false teaching, which taught adherence to dietary laws and religious festivals, and claimed special knowledge received through visions. Paul argues that Christ's sacrifice and revelation are sufficient for salvation. When you are tempted to add to the gospel, remember, Jesus is sufficient, and you can trust in him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Twice? You're taking the rings twice. This is Wretched Radio. Not talking about the actual event, but talking about what might hopefully keep you from participating in an event. What sort of an event are we describing? Drifting, falling into sexual sin, falling into theological liberalism, compromise in your life, in your integrity, in your morals, in your values, and in your doctrine. Courtesy of a man who's sold over 15 million Christian books, 8-year affair. At the age of 76, his ministry is done. All of his books, people are throwing them away as we speak. Everything that he has labored to accomplish, gone. And we're asking the question, how does that happen so it doesn't happen to me? And Jimmy, after the break, during the last break, you said, I wish we'd had more time there. Well, go, man, go.
Well, you mentioned, you made a statement that maybe you're the man that says, I'm past all of that. I'm not interested in that anymore. So I'm not going to fall that way. I think that's a lie from the pit of hell, because the flesh never retires. The flesh never stops being the flesh. I mean, the heart is deceitful at 25. It's deceitful at 65. And I think the moment that we stop being on guard is the moment that that we give Satan room.
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
Your libido isn't what it once was. Maybe it's totally dead. Okay, well, you might not be tempted in that way. Let's just, in that particular way, to commit that act. But that doesn't mean all temptations are gone. It just doesn't. You say, I couldn't even do that if I wanted to. Okay, but there's other things that you can do, because we still want to do fleshly things. The point is, don't assume you don't need to be diligent and on guard. There is some form of complacency that accompanies maturity that causes compromise.
You said be diligent and on guard. And it reminds me of advice I heard years ago from an older man in the church that I was in back in Tennessee. He said, we were meeting one day, and he said, son, don't ever get out of the habit of confessing. He said, confess something every week, because the moment you stop confessing and saying that you're fine and you have nothing, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to those around you.
Yeah, that dude is wrong. Every week? Yeah. Every week?
Every day.
Are you kidding me? I can. Am I awake? I've got something to confess here. Confession is a good thing. There was an article in Christian Post written by Marlon de Blasio. The headline was Five Signs of Losing Your Christian Faith. Well, we'll just let that headline go for a moment, because I thought the 5 points that he makes, the 5 identifying marks, I think could better be phrased, 5 signs you're on your way to a fall. I think would be theologically precise and on point for the context of our discussion. Here are the 5 things that, let me ask you to commit right now. If you identify yourself in any one or all of these 5 marks, will you address it? Will you commit to addressing it? Because if you just hear and go, yeah, I guess I kind of have, and then on your way you go, uh-oh, you're being foolish. I'm being foolish if I do that. This isn't a game. This just isn't a game. The devil, he can't take away your salvation, but wow, does he love to laugh at Christian men who fall. He loves it. All of hell busts a gut when another guy who was once stout breaks and starts becoming liberal or starts behaving wickedly. This, if in your maturity you're thinking this isn't a treacherous endeavor of walking all the way to Celestial City, I think you need to rekindle that fear. You need to rekindle that fear. the video that we did on for Friday, Psalm 103 is fascinating. Psalm 103 is all, it's basically a paean to the love of God. It just is. And it harkens back to Moses and the descriptor that God gives to Moses when he was meeting with him face to face, when God described himself very richly and fully. The Lord, gracious, compassionate, merciful, showing mercy to generation after generation. And yet he will not hold the guilty, or he will not withhold his judgment on the guilty. I'm paraphrasing, because Psalm 103, I think, says it just slightly different than Deuteronomy, is it 6 or 7, somewhere in that neighborhood? What is that? Which is it? Is he gracious and compassionate, or a terror to the evildoer? Yep. And I think one of the things that can happen is, as we get older, you focus on the former and not the latter. You focus on the love of God. You focus on the grace and the mercy of God, because you're growing in that, and that's a good thing, isn't it? But you fail to remember the more severe attributes. And so you've got a God that's out of balance and probably willing to wink at your liberal drift or your sexual flirtations. Furthermore, there's a Psalm 103 then continues, as high as the heavens are above, as high as the heavens. There was a song about that, as high as the heavens are above. So great, so great. So the imagery that, I believe it's David who wrote 103, the imagery is he's trying to paint a picture which falls short. God's love, how big is it? It's so big. Look up. You can't see to the end of the universe. Yeah, that's not even close to how big his love is. For those who blank him. His love is so magnificent. For whom exactly? For those who fear him. I think that sometimes, well, I don't know what decade of life you are currently in, but I think especially as you get older, it's all about the love, it's all about the grace, it's all about the mercy. Oh, no, it's not. It's also about the fear. For those who love him, we fear him. We don't just bask in the glow of the warmth of his love. Now, I think that a lot of times we need to do that more than we probably are, but simultaneously, that doesn't mean we jettison our fear of the Lord. God places his love on those who fear him. What kind of fear is it? It's not a cowering, servile fear like, oh, he could snap on me and send me to hell at any moment. No, that's not the kind of fear. It's a reverential fear, but it is a fear nonetheless. And I think that that fear can diminish as you get older. And so as you hear this list of 5 markers, don't ignore them. Don't ignore. You just heard one, by the way. If you've stopped fearing the Lord, you've got a marker of drift. Fix it. How? Reestablish it. Think on it. Correct and adjust your theology. You've already adjusted your theology to a jettison the fear of the Lord. Okay. Do what you need to do to unjettison that and have a fear of the Lord, which means maybe you need to read different books. You need to listen to different sermons. You need to maybe for a while focus on a particular set of verses in the Bible that cause you to shake and tremble at the thought of displeasing your benevolent Father. But that's, I'm not sure that's in this list. Here are the 5. Scriptural reading has lost appeal. I'm just giving you time to think it through. Do you read the Bible as voraciously as you once did? Do a test, do self-examination. If it's not, you're in trouble. You're in a scary territory right now. Number 2, church is becoming trite. Church just isn't, maybe you used to be excited. I hope you used to be excited about going to church, but not anymore. Uh-oh, you're drifting already. Number 3, loss of passion for the good news. Uh-oh. You don't want to share with anybody anymore? You don't think that it's urgent and important? That isn't a marker of maturity. That is a marker of either laziness, complacency, or drift. Number four, the world seems friendly. You imbibe in things that you would, they just don't see, it just doesn't seem as bad as it once did. That's another sign. And finally, from this particular article, sin is being trivialized. When I look at that woman, I'm not, you see, maybe you whippersnappers, you have to have sexual fantasies, but that's not the way that I'm just looking. Uh-oh, you're trivializing sin. And it's not just sexual. Is it anger? Is it greed? Is it truth that is being compromised? If you have any of those markers, commit to fixing them. And the best place to do that, to apply the means of growth that are given to us in Acts chapter 2, is the context of, say it with me now, your local church. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.